All right, everyone, I'm going to call the House Committee on Rules to order for Tuesday, June 13th, 2017. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3464.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3464 was originally heard on June 8th. The measure, unless required by state or federal law, public body is prohibited from disclosing specific information about person for purpose of enforcing federal immigration laws or asking about person's citizenship or immigration status. Public body may ask about status for purpose of determining benefit eligibility. Public body may decline to disclose information concerning person status unless required by state or federal law, court order, or warrant. Directs Attorney General to publish model policies for public bodies intended to limit in manner consistent with state and federal law immigration enforcement in public schools, public health facilities, courthouses, public shelters, and other public facilities. It encourages public bodies or entity that contracts a public body for health care, education, or access to justice services to implement policies based on AG's model policies. There is an emergency clause on the measure. The measure has a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
All right, Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3464 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved House Bill 3464 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I will be a no on this, and it does bother me that we are a nation with borders, with laws, and when we start making a protected class that doesn't need to heed those, then I think we quit becoming a nation and protected as a nation. So,
any further discussion? Can we have a roll call vote? Thank you.
Representative Barreto?
No.
Representative Pack?
No.
Representative Holby?
Aye.
Representative Kammerer?
No.
Representative Noakes?
Yes.
Representative Smith Warner?
Aye.
Vice Chair McClain?
Excused.
Vice Chair Rayfield?
Yes.
Chair Williamson?
Yes. Motion passes. Carriers will be co-carrier, Representative Alonso Leon and Representative Hernandez. I will close the work session on House Bill 3464. I will open a work session on House Bill 2947.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2947 was heard on June 7th and 8th. It is a measure that which we adopted the Dash 3 Amendment, which replaced the underlying measure. The Dash 3 Amendment requires Oregon Department of Administrative Services to report annually to Legislative Assembly on amount of debt state agency wrote off, waived, settled, or determined not to be owed, or was canceled by Oregon Department of Revenue in previous fiscal year. It requires state agency to certify to the Department of Administrative Services accuracy of report. Defined state agency for purpose of report excludes public universities and Oregon Health and Science Universities from definition of state agencies, and it removes the underlying emergency clause on the original measure. The Dash 3 Amendment has minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
All right, Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2947 to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved House Bill 2947 to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Motion passes. Carrier will be Representative Gomberg. I will close the work session on House Bill 2947. And I will open a public hearing on House Bill 3463.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3463 allows establishment of way of necessity when property has existing enforceable access to public road in certain circumstances. You do have a Dash 1 amendment for your consideration. The Dash 1 amendment further narrows circumstances for establishment of way of necessity to when property is within city limits of incorporated city that is within urban growth boundary, has population of less than 25,000 residents when this measure becomes effective, is undeveloped or developed with single-family home and associated buildings, and zoned for commercial use, and was zoned for commercial use when right of access was acquired. We do not have fiscal or revenue on the Dash 1 or the underlying bill.
Thank you, Representative Bile. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, members of the committee. This bill corrects a problem that was created over 20 years ago when ODOT acquired a number of accesses along Highway 99 in the middle of Sherwood. At that point, the farmer that had the property along 99 was given an access off Roy Rogers Road. In OLIS, there is a map that helps us look at this and understand exactly what's going on. But the bottom line is, with the growth of that city, the access that was allowed is no longer capable of handling any kind of commercial activity on the site. It was zoned commercial at the time the accesses were acquired and left with this one. No zoning change has occurred, and yet the property cannot be developed for the purpose that it was zoned at the time that the access change took place. This simply allows us then to modify the current way of necessity law in Oregon. Way of necessity law says that when you don't have access to your property, it's essentially the way a private citizen can do a condemnation action, get access across another's property to be able to access their property. That current way of necessity law says if you have any access to your property, you cannot successfully sue for a way of necessity. This would modify it slightly so that in the rare circumstance, this may be the only circumstance in the state for all we know, you may then seek a way of necessity so that the property can be developed consistent with the zoning that is on the property itself.
Thank you. Questions for Representative Vile? Thank you for including the map.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Aaron Doyle. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Williams and members of the committee. For the record, Aaron Doyle here on behalf of the League of Oregon Cities. I'm mostly neutral on the bill. We just have one small concern, even with the dash ones, which have worked to really narrowly tailor this exception. There are 15 cities in Metro that would still potentially have an impact. What I don't know and probably can't find out for you due to time and effort is how many properties fit under this classification. So I've talked briefly right before this hearing with Representative Vile about the possibility of adding a sunset provision so we don't have these potential outstanding issues. What I don't want to do is hamper this bill from moving forward this session. So I've talked to him about perhaps getting the amendment drafted and having it adopted on the Senate side and seeking a concurrence as a way to move forward. Just out of an abundance of caution so that we don't end up with a number of these 15 cities. Might not seem big now, but Metro is growing rapidly around these areas where maybe rights of necessity may become necessary in the future. So we just like to prevent that. I've also talked with the counties, and they think that a sunset would be helpful, and I'll talk with Mr. Honeycutt as well. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this is an issue that we hadn't looked at until just a few minutes ago. Certainly, as I stated earlier, I really don't know. This may be the only situation that this would apply to. However, a reasonable sunset that would give the property owners adequate time to bring a claim and process that claim would not be something I see of a problem with respect to amending the bill in this sense.
So you're comfortable with it being amended on the Senate side?
Yes.
All right. Great. Thank you both. Questions? Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you both. I appreciate you guys looking at that and seeking any possibility, because I have just found in my short time here that we often have the most significant problems with bills that we just craft very narrowly to only deal with one very small problem, and then it turns out that they end up impacting a lot of other things or have other unforeseen consequences. So I would be supportive of the idea of the sunset or whatever else we can do to hopefully keep that from happening. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And we are waiting on paperwork on the underlying bill and the amendment, right? Mm-hmm. All right. Great. Thank you. I will close the public hearing on House Bill 3463. And I will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 520A.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 520 requires recall petition be filed with members of Board of Directors of Irrigation District not subject to the recall.
Good afternoon, Chair Williamson, members of the committee. My name is, for the record, I am Lauren Smith. I am Public Policy Counsel at Oregon Water Resources Congress, and we are a private member organization that represents irrigation districts, water control districts, and other agricultural water suppliers that deliver water to about one-third of all irrigated land in Oregon. So this issue was brought to us by one of our members after their irrigation district had a recall last year, and they noticed a couple problems in the process where it wasn't quite clear on, one, in Section 1 of this bill, what forms or manuals they would use to submit their recall to their board. So irrigation districts were left out of the statute that allows all other public bodies to use the Secretary of State's forms for that. So it would include irrigation districts in that. And then Section 2 clarifies who they would return the forms to in the case of not having a board secretary. So in this instance, not only were they recalling their board, they had recently fired their manager, who also served as their board secretary, so there was no one to submit the recall forms to. So it just clarifies that in that instance, they would return the forms to the board members who are not subject to the recall. So.
Questions? Wheels are turning, I hear them.
What exactly does this accomplish and what does it do?
It just makes it clear so that in the instance, any of our other irrigation districts, they have patrons that would like to recall their board. They don't run into the same issues that this group of patrons did, and that they didn't know what forms to use and then who to submit them to, because it just wasn't clear in the current statutes. So we're just trying to make the process easier so that when our patrons feel like their board is not serving them properly, they can easily recall them, but have a clearer process for doing that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I apologize because I don't have my computer with me to look at the bill. Would this just put irrigation districts into those statutes that you referenced laying out the...
Yeah, it puts irrigation districts into that statute that lists all the different public entities that are able to use the Secretary of State's forms. And then it just adds phrasing, the Section 2 just adds the phrasing that says that they would submit, in the event there isn't a board secretary, they'd submit it to the members of the board who are not subject to recall. That's the only thing it says.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 520A. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 520A.
All right. Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 520A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved Senate Bill 520A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Can I ask if there is a sponsor of this, or was it a committee bill?
Committee.
Which committee?
Judiciary. Senate Judiciary.
Any further discussion? Are there any objections? Motion passes. I think Representative Smith Warner should carry this bill.
Let no good deed go unpunished.
That's right. You have all the
Representative McLean would like to co-carry it with me.
No, I will add, though, I'd be happy to assist you in preparing. This comes out of the conflict between irrigation districts in Klamath County over the KBRA and other water issues. So I don't want to touch it with the...
But you have so much historical context.
But I can give you some of the background of why it's probably a good bill.
That way I can tell a compelling story on the floor.
Excellent.
It is a good bill.
It did pass. Thank you.
Did pass. All right, I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 520A. I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 229A and Senate Bill 225A.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 225A establishes treasurer of political or petition committees as individual personally responsible for filing of required statements, allows treasurer of petition or political committee to designate voter to be liable for civil penalties for failure to file required statements for committee or for failure to include information required in the statements. It takes effect 91st day following signing die. Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 229 is a very lengthy bill with a number of sections, and as you noted on the SMS, it has a number of different provisions. I will let Steve walk through them, but what it essentially does is make a variety of technical, administrative, clarifying changes to elections law. It's essentially an omnibus bill that they bring every session that addresses ongoing issues and cleanup within our election statutes.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Trout.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Steve Trout, State Election Director, and I will start with 225. I think that's the easier one and the simpler one. So what this does, a couple sessions ago, we were amending the statutes to impose liability on candidates. in political committees and petition committees, there are no candidates, and so we don't have anybody to have on the hook for any campaign finance violations. And so this bill declares the treasurer that liable person unless another person, another elector within the state is identified and they agree to that provision.
Questions on this one? All right, thank you.
And then, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Steve Trout again, State Election Director on Senate Bill 229. So as Aaron said, this is our non-controversial technical elections cleanup bill of 56 items that even for election geeks can put you to sleep. Really technical changes of things that we've experienced over the last couple of years in administering elections, trying to make them light up, things that were missed in bills in previous sessions, and to make it clear for candidates, treasurers, everyone involved with elections, so that they know what the rules are and that there's some consistency there. Now, I sent around a review of all 56 sections to all of you when the bill was referred here, because I don't think you want me to go through every one of those sections here in the interest of time. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have on any of those sections, either now or at a later time. And so, Madam Chair, if there's any questions there, I'm happy to answer them, or if there's anything you'd like me to dig deeper into, I'm happy to do that.
Are there some highlights?
Sure. So, highlights, and I should mention that this has some items from the county clerks as well to improve that election administration. One of those is in Oregon statute, it says that there is a presidential ballot. And so this bill changes that presidential ballot to a federal ballot, which would include president and U.S. Senate members of Congress, which brings that into compliance with federal law. We've been complying with federal law, but the counties have had to create a separate ballot style for president only that then no one would use just because of that language in the statute. So, that's one of the areas. We've got, some just general timeline changes. For filing, we're putting in a starting deadline for candidates to file. You have to file before 70 days, but some candidates for minor parties and others will file way in advance if there may be, there could be some leadership change. And so we'll get some really early filings. And so this puts a beginning window on it as well. So it's 120 days to 70 days. So we thought that's consistent with some other areas of the statute. And 50 days is a good amount of time that's not going to sneak up on people. Some technical adjustments within calculations, a 21st day to a 23rd day to allow for deadlines that fall on a Saturday or a Sunday, like we have with our military and overseas ballots. And so just adjusting some of those to make them more workable and so that we don't have people saying, well, the deadline was on Saturday, so do I have to get in on Friday or do I have to get in on Monday?
Additional questions? Yeah, Representative Holby.
Out of curious, permitting the district attorney to change a ballot title for clerical errors. Just kind of curious about that. Is that existing law already for, I'm assuming it's for county ballot measures?
Right. So, Madam Chair, Representative Holvey, it is just for those county measures, and we found that there can be a clerical error, and right now the statute doesn't allow those to be corrected, and so we've had, counties have had materials going out with those typos in them, and so then they get the questions, and so that's why we're really trying to limit it here to those clerical errors, not anything that would change substance or policy, but so that the voters would have the most accurate and correct information there, and not put out a government document with typos in it when they can correct that.
Follow up. So I assume that there's some manual somewhere that defines what a clerical error is.
Madam Chair, Representative Holvey, that's defined in the bill.
Okay, thank you.
Why the district attorneys? Do they have any other role in this world?
So, Madam Chair, they're the ones that oversee the ballot title process for those county measures. That would be the Attorney General for a state measure.
Oh, just one more follow-up, if I may. So what about city measures? Does a city attorney have the right to, or is permitted to change the ballot title for the same reason?
So, Madam Chair, Representative Holdeby, I believe the city attorneys already have that opportunity to correct clerical errors. And so this is to make that consistent with that, but I will confirm that and get back to you.
Additional questions? And colleagues, we are not going to move this one today, so you have time to spend a little time with it.
And Madam Chair, we're not, again, we don't want anything in here that would, try to change policy or change the bill. And so anybody that's got questions on that, this is just a technical cleanup bill.
All right. Thank you very much. I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 225A and I will, and 229A, and I will open a work session on Senate Bill 225A.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 225A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved Senate Bill 225A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, motion passes. Anyone like to be the carrier? All right, Representative Beretta, will you carry this one?
I will, ma'am.
Thank you. I will close the work session on Senate Bill 225A. Do we have anything else here?
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, that does complete the bills for today. Do you want to vote?
Is it a Tuesday?
And then, Madam Chair, members of the committee, we will be here tomorrow at 3,
excellent.
3 o'clock.
Great. See you all then. We're adjourned. Oh. Great. See you all then. We're adjourned.